Turn in your Bibles with me, if you will, to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 13. 1 Kings chapter 13. I'd like to just read the first 10 verses of this chapter. And behold, a man of God went from Judah to Bethel by the word of the Lord, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. Then he cried out against the altar by the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus says the Lord, behold, a child, Josiah by name, shall be born to the house of David, and on you he shall sacrifice the priests of the high place who burn incense on you, and men's bones shall be burned on you. And he gave a sign that same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord has spoken, surely the altar shall split apart and the ashes on it shall be poured out. So it came to pass when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, who cried out against the altar in Bethel, that he stretched out his hand from the altar saying, arrest him. Then his hand, which he stretched out toward him, withered so that he could not pull it back to himself. The altar also was split apart and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. Then the king answered and said to the man of God, please entreat the favor of the Lord your God and pray for me that my hand may be restored to me. So the man of God entreated the Lord, and the king's hand was restored to him and became as before. Then the king said unto the man of God, come home with me and refresh yourself, and I will give you a reward. But the man of God said to the king, if you were to give me half your house, I would not go in with you, nor would I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so it was commanded me by the word of the Lord, saying, you shall not eat bread nor drink water, nor return by the same way you came. So he went another way and did not return by the way he came to Bethel. This prophet was a man who was willing to stand alone. Standing alone is so, so important. One man called by God to deliver a message to a wayward king who had departed from the truth. I love the fact that this one was unnamed, because you see, when we look at the story, we realize that we can put ourselves in that story, because we too perhaps are nameless to the world, but not to God. And he has a plan for you. He has a plan for me. And sometimes it involves standing alone. As you listen, you might say, I could never do that. But I'm reminded of the verse in Zechariah. It says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. None of us can do that in and of our own strength. But if God has called us, he will also endue us with power that will bridge the gap, that will cover the ministry, that will carry us through. This man found that to be so, that God was with him. In the beginning of this, verse 1, it says, and behold, a man of God went from Judah to Bethel by the word of the Lord. This one was ready for the call. Ready for the call. We don't know much about him except for he was from the southern kingdom. We're not told anything about his personal life, anything about his family, or if he had a ministry before the God called him in, at this point in time. We don't know that, because that's not what was important. What was important was his faithfulness. And he was ready. And so we ask ourselves, well, how do we get ready for the call? Will there be a call? Well, number one, I would suggest that we have to prepare. We have to prepare. We have to get ready. Remember, ready or not, here I come, and we're playing hide and seek. We need to be ready when the Lord calls to respond. In Acts 2:42, a very special verse. It tells us about the church as it was vital and growing and powerful. It says, and they continued steadfastly in the doctrine, the apostles' doctrine, and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Those are the things that you and I need to be doing to prepare. We need to be in fellowship with one another. God gave us this relationship. It's in a wonderful relationship. We're so different in so many ways, and yet we're complementary to one another because we've been bonded together in this thing called the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. And so we spend time together talking about life, talking about things of the word, breaking bread together like we're going to do after service, breaking bread together downstairs. That's an important time for the body because it's there that we really become one with one another. That carries with it the idea of participation. We need to participate. We need to become part of the team, if you will. You know, if you're a sports person, perhaps you've referred yourself to yourself at some point in time as an armchair quarterback because you can give them all the counsel that they need from a distance so that they know what to do on the field so that they can win. And sometimes we try and approach our relationship with the body of Christ the same way. We're armchair quarterbacks. We can sit back without really being connected, and we somehow think that we can impart to them what they need to do to be successful so that the kingdom of God can be built, strengthened, and perfected. And the Lord would say to us, no, that's not what it's about. You need to be prepared. You need to participate. You need to pursue the Lord with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. We need to pursue the things of God. We need to grow up in the faith. Paul would challenge Timothy when he says, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's a journey. None of us know everything. But Lord willing, we know more today than we knew yesterday or the day before because we're spending time in God's word. Spend time in God's word every day. Begin simply. You can pick up the Bible and just read it, or you can grab one of the devotionals out there, the Daily Bread. It starts with a scripture and a devotional thought. It kind of sets the tone for the day. Those are simple beginnings, perhaps, but the point is it's a beginning. We don't want to find ourselves in 30 years or 40 years in the same place that we were 40 years ago when we came to know Christ. And many people are camped out at the gate of salvation. It's such a beautiful gate. I just love that gate. I just can't take my eyes off of it. And because of that, we don't venture into the Christian experience. We don't venture into the Christian life. We never enter into the battles. And the battles are where God's power is shown in our lives. We need to present what we know to be true. I don't know everything, but I know something. And what I know, I can share. That's what God wants you to do this morning. You may say, I don't know much, but you know something. If you hung around in Sunday school, you know, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's a simple but powerful truth. And that can save an individual if God's prepared their heart to hear that message. Give away what you have. Don't keep it. Paul would tell the Corinthian church, I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Why? That your faith would not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. There are great orators in our world. There are great theologians in our world. But they're not the only ones that can change lives in our world. The simplest individual with Jesus in their hearts can impact this world for Jesus Christ. And we need to know and understand that. We need to know. The Lord wants to use us. And then we need to pray and ask to be used. That could be a scary prayer. Lord, use me. Don't know what that means exactly, but use me. But what if he sends me to Africa? I hate snakes. Well, you know what? If he sends you to Africa, he'll give you a love for snakes. Or at least give you an accommodation for them. I remember years ago, we went to... When our daughter was in Uganda with some missionary friends, we went and visited them. And while we were there, we were sleeping in these huts. And in the middle of the night, I'm sleeping and my eyes pop open and I realize there's something walking up my cot. I have to this day no idea what it was, but I don't know karate, but I did this leg sweep and I heard funk as it hit the wall. And yeah, ew. But, you know, the Lord uses those things to teach us. Don't be afraid of the call. Don't be afraid to pray and ask to be used. He wants to use you. You know, the scripture says you have not because you ask not. Don't be afraid to ask. I had a conversation with a guy the other day. He says, I never pray for myself. And I thought, you know, that's sad. Because when Jesus talked about prayer to the disciples, he incorporated into that prayer a request, give us this day our daily bread. That's pretty personal. The Lord wants us to be able to be comfortable asking him for those things which we desire. And as we delight ourselves in the Lord, he gives us the desires of our heart. So I don't have to fear asking. If I'm walking with him, my request, Lord willing, will be in accordance with his will. And if it's in accordance with his will, what does it say? He hears us. He hears us and he responds. This one responds to the call. And we read, Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried out against the altar by the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus says the Lord, behold, a child, Josiah by name, shall be born to the house of David. And on you, he shall sacrifice the priests of the high places who burn incense on you, and men's bones shall be burned on you. And he gave a sign that same day saying, this is a sign which the Lord has spoken. Surely the altar shall split apart and the ashes on it shall be poured out. He responded to the call. He delivered a message which he knew was going to be a problem to the king, the lesser king. He was more concerned with the greater king and the guidance of that king. And he cried against that pagan altar and against the pagan practices. And we need to do the same thing. When God calls us, number one, we need to listen. We need to listen for God's call. You're not going to miss it. Don't worry about missing it. If you're his sheep, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. I don't have to wonder, was that God speaking or not? He'll make it very clear to you, to me, to us, that he's speaking. And then we can respond to that call. We listen through the word. We listen as we pray. We listen as the Spirit speaks. We listen through the opportunities that present themselves. All of those things come together. They coalesce to guide and direct our steps. We're not left without a rudder. The Lord's our rudder. He's going to take us in the right direction. Not only do we need to listen, we need to look. We need to be deeply rooted in Jesus. You know, in Psalm 1, it says, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That richness that is available to us if we will but stop and plant ourselves by the river of water. Because he will water us, guys. We need to leave what we know with others. The truths given to me and others. This guy, it says, spoke by the word of Jehovah. And that's why it's so important that we speak the scripture. People don't need to know my opinion about anything. My wife and I were talking about it yesterday, actually, about the fact that, you know, when we were younger, we thought we knew a lot. But as we've gotten older, we realize we don't know much. Our kids think they know a lot. And that's kind of part of the journey. And we just wait patiently until they come back and say, you know what, Mom, Dad, you were right. Love it. I love it when that happens. God's patient with us. God's patient with us. And he gives us that which we can handle because he knows we'll be faithful to share it. So we need to leave what we know with those around us. And we need to learn, catch this, if you're type A, we need to learn flexibility. Some of us aren't very flexible. And the older we get, the less flexible we become in a number of ways. But in this application, really spiritually speaking, we need to learn to be flexible. Like we were talking about earlier with the prison, 2 years. Some got very frustrated. We got very frustrated. What's up with this? Stop. You know, but then we began to see God's hand moving in other areas of that ministry, taking 1,000 Bibles into this institution, unheard of, being able to send those in along with Christmas cards and a little gift bag for the prisoners, something unheard of, opening the doors for that. And then a call that comes that says, hey, we can't get you in as a group, but could you send 6 or 8 guys to come and minister? That's a God thing. God does that. It's not us doing it. We need to be flexible. We need to be willing to take those side trips that we can see as interruptions. We also, in verse 4, we read, "So it came to pass when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God who cried out against the altar in Bethel, that he stretched out his hand from the altar, saying, 'Arrest him!' Then his hand, which he stretched out toward him, withered so that he could not pull it back to himself. The altar also was split apart, and the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. Then the king answered and said to the man, 'Please entreat the favor of the Lord your God and pray for me that my hand may be restored to me.' So the man of God entreated the Lord, and the king's hand was restored to him as became as before." We need to realize the challenge in the call. It's not an easy road sometimes, as many of you are very well aware. That's why the scripture says to count the cost. Count the cost. There is a cost. But it isn't greater than the benefit reward, if you will, of walking with Jesus, of being his servant. There are many stories you can read about that. Corrie ten Boom is one of them. As we realize the challenge, we need to abide. We need to stand strong in the Lord and not in ourselves or another person. We're just people. We're just flesh and bone, blood. But we serve one who is spirit. And we have to worship him in spirit and in truth. We need to keep our focus on him. "I lift up my eyes into the hills. From whence come my help? My help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth." Corrie ten Boom said, "If you look at the world, you'll be distressed." That's true today, right? "If you look within, you'll be depressed." I can say amen to that. "If you look at God, you'll be at rest." That's the truth. That's where our focus needs to be today. Not on CNN, not on MSNBC, not on Fox News, not on Epoch News or any of those news places. That's not where our guidance, direction, and peace are going to come from. We can be informed, but we need to know the true source of our guidance, direction, and understanding. We need to pray for wisdom. We need to pray for insight. We need to pray for clarity, because I don't know if you understand this. I'm sure you do. We're being lied to all the time. So many lies out there. How important then is the gift of discernment? To be able to discern what is true and what is false. I shared this the other day, but it's so cool. Charles Spurgeon said, "Discernment is not the ability to determine between truth and error. Discernment is the ability to determine between truth and what is almost true. Nothing harder to identify than truth mixed with error." And that's where the key is. We need to understand that. We need to abide in him. We need to have an attitude. Do you have an attitude this morning? I hope you do. An attitude that says, "I'm going to stand strong in Jesus. I want to be radical for him." Don't be too radical, they say. Jeroboam said that to the people in the northern kingdom. "Hey, you don't need to travel down to Jerusalem. That's too far. We'll put up a calf in Bethel, 35 miles to the north. Another one up in Dan. You can go there because they're what delivered you from Egypt." Don't get too radical. You can know that Jehovah is real, but you can mix your faith with other things. Again, a lie. But it's easy to accommodate that lie if we don't be careful. If we get on the road like this prophet, and God has told us to move, we need to keep moving regardless of the difficulties until he says stop. He's not incapable of speaking. Matter of fact, he speaks regularly. He speaks through his word. He speaks by his spirit. He speaks to us in some cases personally. He will speak to you directly. Don't minimize that. People today try and put God in a box. He's not going to be put in a box. God does speak. And we need to trust him to speak when it's necessary. We need to realize there's an adversary. There is one who seeks to prevent our ministry. We heard testimony of that today. The spiritual attack, the stuff that's going on to distract us. Jeroboam stretched out his arm in rebellion against God. Didn't go too well for him. God stretched out his arm as well. And Jeroboam's arm withered. Peter says, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walks about, seeking whom he may devour. You know, it's pretty amazing. If you do any checking on the statistics, a large percentage of the Christian population do not believe that Satan is a person. They believe he's a power, and he has already won the battle in their lives because he's a person. He's a person. Ezekiel, Isaiah, they declare it. He's a person. The exalted one. He was the worship leader in heaven. Beautiful creation until he rebelled against God. Know that Satan is real, but also know that our God is greater. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. We don't need to fear him. We need to know he's real. Jesus was speaking to a man on the Sabbath. He had a withered hand. And Jesus told him, stretch forth your hand. And he stretched forth his hand and it was healed. I love that. Jesus said unto the man, stretch forth your hand. And he stretched it out and his hand was restored. His hand was stretched out in obedience to the call of God. If you will stretch your hand out, you need to know that you will never see it withered. God will guide you. God will direct you. God will use you. He will use me. But it requires action. It requires action. It is a battle. Jeroboam goes to the prophet on the heels of this arm sticking out here. He says, pray to the Lord, our God. Even though God spoke to him, right? Before he became king of the northern kingdom. God says, if you will but honor me, I will establish your kingdom. But when it came crunch time, he has to ask God for something. It's not the Lord his God, but it's the Lord of the prophet. Ask the Lord your God. Do you know him personally this morning? Is he your God? Or is he someone else's God that you go to when you have a need, like a withered arm? We need to know him personally. The time is short. We need to respond to him as he calls. In verse 7, then the king said to the man of God, come home with me and refresh yourself, and I will give you a reward. But the man of God said to the king, if you were to give me half your house, I would not go in with you, nor would I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so it was commanded me by the word of the Lord, saying, you shall not eat bread nor drink water, nor return by the same way you came. So he went another way and did not return by the way he came to Bethel. You know, finally, guys, we need to refuse the counterfeit call. Refuse the counterfeit call. Rest assured that if God calls you to ministry, Satan is going to issue a counterfeit call of some sort or another to try and distract you from what God wants to accomplish. This prophet knew that God had spoken to him. The counterfeit call for Jeroboam to come to his house, he was able to refuse because he understood that God wanted him to have no part of that world. For Jeroboam's part, it went from seize him to seat him in a place of honor in my house. How quickly it changes. But that's what the world does. It's a bait and switch. Looks good, but it ends bad. Refuse the counterfeit call. I need to be a servant first and foremost. Jesus would say, you can only serve one master. Who are we serving today? You know, as we look back over our lives, we know that we, if we're honest, can say there have been times in our lives where we were trying to serve two masters. We knew Jesus was real. We knew that he had a call on our lives. And yet there was part of us in that place in the world that we weren't quite ready to let go of yet. Lord, you can have all of these things, but I'd really like to hold on to this or that or the other. And that never works out well. The prophet refused to join Jeroboam. You know, Paul would declare, be you not unequally yoked with unbelievers. And that's a message, guys, we need to impart to our children. As they grow up, as they enter into adult life, as they seek relationships, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. There's a reason that God said that. Years ago, I was at a graduation celebration for one of the Christian schools, and the pastor that was doing it asked me to come, and so I did. And I remember to this day, it's been years ago, that he sang a song for them. And it's always stuck with me. I can't remember the song. I wish I could, because I'd love to play it. But it said, crabs walk sideways and lobsters walk straight. You can't have a crab for your mate. And I thought, how insightful is that? Great application, Pastor. But it's true. If we're walking straight, if we're walking the Jesus pathway, there's no place for us to walk with the crabs of the world. Because we get crossways, we get tripped up, we go down. As we refuse the counterfeit call, we find satisfaction. You ever find yourself at war in your soul because you've gone the wrong direction and you know you're at odds with the Lord? And there's this battle going on inside. And the moment that we go, uncle, I give up. It's yours, Lord. I hand it over to you. Please forgive me. All of a sudden, he floods us with a sense of forgiveness and satisfaction to know that we've been restored to our Maker, this lasting refreshment and reward in turning away from the world. That's what the Lord's working in your life and mine today. He wants us to be settled. When the world calls, and it calls in many ways, we need to run to the shelter of his word. The Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to him and are safe. That's the key. Don't wait until you're going down for the last time. When I recognize what's happening, I need to stop there. I need to cry for help. Don't wait until it's critical mass. There's no reason. God's deliverance is sure. But that requires submission. Submission to be obedient to God's direction. And there have been times when we've said no to God. When he's spoken. We just need to repent of it. We need to confess it. And we need to know that he'll continue to use us for his glory. Guys, avoid distractions. Good things are not necessarily God things. There's a lot of good things in this world, but they may not be God things. We really need to check it out. This man was faithful to this point in his life to respond when God called. And because of that, God used him in a mighty fashion in Jeroboam's life. So Jeroboam was without excuse. God warned him what was coming, and he still failed to repent, to turn, to respond to God's call. May we be like this prophet, willing to stand alone, even in the difficult times. It will yield eternal benefits, and it will yield present benefits as well. God will do that for you. He will do that for me. Because listen, his grace is sufficient. In our weakness, his strength is made perfect. Paul found it to be true, and so will we. Be willing to stand alone. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the work of your Spirit in our lives. We thank you, Father, that you will deliver us complete. And I pray, Lord, this morning that you would help us, Lord, to hear your voice. As you speak to us, Lord, through this portion of Scripture, and you're going to be talking to each of us about different things potentially, Lord. But help us to be like the prophet, to respond when you call. I pray that you would help each one today find their way to the cross or back to the foot of the cross, or whatever it happens to be, for a relationship with Jesus, for an eternal promise, Father of heaven. We give you all praise, honor, and glory this morning, Lord, because you are worthy and you are doing a worthy work. We bless you, Father. I pray the Lord would quicken you, that he would give you understanding, that you would hear his voice as he calls, and that you would respond, "Here I am, Lord. Do what you will." And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Yes, James.